Radio Shack as a carrier, Apple V Samsung Aftermath Unibox for Mac, and Tony Scott's Scholarship. It's Tuesday, August 28th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Kicking off the show today is a somewhat shocking news to me that Radio Shack is becoming a cell phone carrier. I'd imagine this will work as a virtual mobile network, and that Radio Shack will be piggybacking off of Sprint or some other carrier's network and paying them to do so. Anyways, we now have some leaked plans from Radio Shack. The two plans so far are for smartphones, and I'm curious if they'll have dumb phone plans as well. But the plans are priced at $50 and $60. These plans seem to offer a lot of value in comparison to some of the other carriers out there. Both plans feature unlimited voice minutes, unlimited SMS, and unlimited MMS. The $60 plan includes tethering and 2.5 gigabytes of unthrottled 3G data. The $50 plan offers only 1 gigabyte of unthrottled data. Both plans do let you use more data for roughly $15 per gigabyte. It's priced out at the per megabyte rate of 15 cents per megabyte. Anyways, this is very interesting news. I'll be really curious to see what phones can take advantage of this plan. I personally don't see it making sense for me, but it may for you. Next up today is a continuing story of Apple v. Samsung. First up is Apple responding to their victory by asking for a ban on 8 of Samsung's smartphones. The phones in question are the Galaxy S4G, the Galaxy S2 on AT&T, the Galaxy S2 codenamed Skyrocket, the Galaxy S2 on T-Mobile, the Galaxy S2 Epic 4G, the Galaxy S Showcase, the Droid Charge, and the Galaxy Prevail. Apple made a wonderful little chart showing off the design patents, utility patents, and trade dress infringements that these phones have. Only time will tell if Apple gets what they asked for. Meanwhile, Google has responded to the outcome of this case by saying, "The Court of Appeals will review both infringement and the validity of the patent claims. Most of these don't relate to the core Android operating system, and several are being re-examined by the U.S. Patent Office. The mobile industry is moving fast, and all players, including newcomers, are building on ideas that have been around for decades. We will work with our partners to give consumers innovative and affordable products. We don't want anything to limit that." It should be noted that the Nexus S was found in infringement. The Nexus S, as you know, is a pure Google experience. It's a phone that was made by Samsung. No word yet on if the Jelly Bean update would put that device in the clear. If I was Google, though, I would be scared. Very scared, in fact, if only for the basis that your partners are getting attacked and they may decide to move elsewhere if the Android playing field becomes too hostile. Meanwhile, at Samsung, things have been getting a bit crazy. The company is reportedly holding emergency meetings with the executives there. Samsung is not blind that it faced a pretty bad loss here in America. According to one executive, it's absolutely the worst scenario for us. Meanwhile, Samsung shares are down some 7% in the South Korea market. This is the biggest loss for the company since October of 2008. I'm not sure how the company will react to this loss. It is really hard to imagine, though, a company with the DNA of stealing will change overnight. But who knows? It could happen. Now let's move on to some app news. There's just a little bit of it today, but the first one is a rather exciting one for, I think, a lot of you mail users out there. So what is this new app? So it's a new mail client for the Mac. According to Mac rumors, 8Loops is a software company that has a new client called Unibox and borrows a lot of organization and interface cues from chat clients like the Messages app by Apple. Like Messages, the interface consists of two panes, contacts on the left and messages on the right. The contact list is ordered by last received message, and all emails from that contact are consolidated into that one entry. On the right side, incoming messages are displayed in a chat-like interface with incoming on the left and outgoing on the right. Outgoing messages are also written in the right-hand column with support for editing, formatting, and attachments. Meanwhile, attachments, this is pretty cool stuff here, from a single contact can be viewed in a Finder-like interface. The developer notes that this creates an interesting side effect. When you have all the attachments from a single contact, displaying contacts this way creates some interesting new views on your emails and contacts. Attachment grids of a family member or friend mostly look like a shared photo album, while attachment lists of coworkers and business partners are like a shared Dropbox that contain all the relevant business documents like design assets, work documents, Word documents, Excel sheets, etc. The developer wasn't willing to release full interface screenshots quite yet, but expects the app to be released this winter. They have set up a teaser page at uniboxapp.com that will notify you when the app is released. The company has been a long-time Mac developer, but has been focused on contractual work in the past. This is their first big project for the public, and it's rather exciting news. I'm happy to see a new mail client come to the market. I do use the built-in mail client, and I'm happy with it, but competition and new ideas are definitely a good thing. And this, by the sound of it, looks like a really phenomenal mail client. The other app story of the day is that Galaxy On Fire 2 HD, an iOS app, is on sale for a limited time. It's only 99 cents, a great game that I'd recommend picking it up at this great price point. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think it was about $4.99. when it's not on sale. It might be $4, I forget, but it's a good price. Once again, Galaxy On Fire 2 HD for 99 cents. Closing out the show today are three very different stories, or I should say two very different stories. First up is Apple now offering support options for iBooks publishers. The new telephone support line is available to publishers Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time, and it's a very much needed thing for iBooks publishers. In the past, email support was offered, but response time left a lot to be desired. If you have an iTunes Connect account and publish to the iBook store, you can call the support line at any time for any time that they're open for an issue the company already covers under email support. That includes publishing and tax problems, EPUB and iBooks author questions, sales information, and more. Calls are toll-free from the United States and Canada. International rates apply to calls made from outside of these countries. So there you go. Publishing to the Apple's iBook store just got a little better. Last up today is the Scott family setting up a scholarship fund in the name of Tony Scott. According to Deadline.com, to honor the life and work of filmmaker Tony Scott, the Scott family has created the Tony Scott Scholarship Fund at AFI, the American Film Institute, to celebrate his creative legacy. The family asked that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to the fund to help encourage and engage future generations of filmmakers. Contributions to the Scott Fund, the Tony Scott Scholarship Fund, may be sent to American Film Institute, Tony Scott Scholarship Fund, 2021 Northwestern Avenue, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90027. I support the Scott family and encourage you to donate to the scholarship. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. You can find the show notes over at iWakePodcast.com. I also do videos over at YouTube.com/TCHATEN. And finally, if you'd like access to the script as well as bonus content, head on over to iWakePodcast.com/again. Once again, that's iWakePodcast.com/again. Join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Have a great day.